Forever Dog.
Welcome to another episode of Best Show Bests, the greatest hits of the best show, with me, your host, Tom Sharpling. If you like what you hear, make sure you join us every Tuesday night on Twitch at 6 p.m. Pacific for a brand new episode of the Best Show, featuring callers, celebrity guests, live music, and plenty of surprises. Enjoy! Hello, Best Show.
Hey, Tom, it's Willie in Newbridge News. How's it going tonight?
Good, good. How are you?
Good, good. Just getting ready for the holidays. It kind of snuck up on me this year. I wasn't that ready for it. How about you?
Same with me. I think it really did sneak up on a lot of us. Really,
I burnt on it already, right?
What was that?
I said I'm kind of burnt on it already, right?
Yeah. I get you. It's a challenging way to end a year.
It is. And I'm not made of money.
No, me neither.
Yeah, I hear you. But on the good side, I've been having a great time with this best song countdown. It's really been fun.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
I'd like to chime in if that's okay.
Oh, yes, please. I'd love to hear it.
Well, Tom, I don't know about you, but for me to really connect with a song, it needs to come from a real place. And that's why all my favorite songs are based on real life incidents.
Okay. Like, what do you mean?
Well, like, the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, Gordon Lightfoot song about the boat sinking in Lake Superior. Was that 1975 or something, I think?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That Smoke on the Water with the fire at the venue where Deep Purple was playing that night in Montreux. Ohio by CSNY, about the
sure.
horrible shooting there in 1970. Kickstart My Heart, Motley Crue, about Nikki Sixx's drug OD and getting that shot of adrenaline coming back to life. That's a pretty intense one.
Yeah, no, that's a song with the ripped from the headlines, so to speak.
Totally, yeah, and you feel it like that's a very those are real things going on in those songs. But for me, in terms of the best song, and I know this is cheating, but I could only narrow it down to five.
Okay.
All right. What do you got? All right, number one, Under My Thumb by the Rolling Stones.
That's a real life event?
Oh, yeah. My understanding of this is that Mick Jagger had this girlfriend who was very tiny, and her name was Jeannie Von Trimble, and she was a half tall.
A half tall? A half what?
Half an inch. Why?
Wow. Okay. That's pretty small. A half inch.
Yeah. So the big problem is that he was also seeing Marianne Faithfull at the time, and he really couldn't risk the bad press that would come with this thing that he's cheating. So when he and Jeannie were at a pub or a party, he would hide her under his thumb.
Huh. Okay. Well, that's news. I mean, I'd never heard that.
Yeah, it's in a couple of his books, I think. But, she ended up leaving Jagger because of his constant philandering, and then she ended up marrying Uriah Heep guitarist Nick Box several years later.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a fun coupling.
Yeah. Conversely, one of my other all-time favorites is Trampled Underfoot by Led Zeppelin.
Okay, which is the opposite of Under My Thumb.
Exactly.
Under My Foot, basically.
Exactly. Yes, yeah. And that song, I'm not sure if you knew this, it's based on a real incident that happened to Jimmy Page. He was on holiday in Blackpool, and there was a parade through town, and it featured this large elephant. And so Jimmy, he loves animals, so he goes up to the elephant and he approaches it to feed it some peanuts. But the elephant got scared by the dragons on Jimmy's satin flared pants, and it charged at Jimmy. And at one point, the elephant had his giant hoof. Wait, are they hoofs or what are they? Are they paws?
I just would say feet.
Yeah, I don't know if it's hoof. you know what this sounds like? This sounds like that scene in Goodfellas.
So what scene is that?
Where they're at Marty's mother's house.
Oh, yeah.
They're in the kitchen, and Pesci's talking about the deer they hit, and he goes, I love you, Ma! I want to be with you, Ma! Love that.
Yeah. So that's, yeah, this is not unlike that.
It's not. Anyway, so the elephant...
I mean, it's a little unlike it.
I think it's sort of like it.
No, I think it's sort of like it, but it's definitely unlike it also, on second thought.
Maybe it's like 60% unlike it and 40% like it.
I might go for more of a 65-35 split on that one.
Oh, that's frustrating for me.
Hey, well, we'll take a number.
The way the old cookie crumbles, right?
That is the way the old cookie crumbles, I guess. But it's only a 5-point swing from what you said.
Okay. I've never heard that phrase before, but I'm intrigued by it. Is it golf?
No, it's not. It's just numbers.
Okay, I got it. All right.
Just regular numbers.
I like it. That's a great band name.
Just regular numbers?
No, either the regular numbers or regular numbers. What do you think they sound like?
Regular numbers maybe would be like a retro thing, right?
To this day, I've never heard the Urban Verbs, but that's exactly what I think regular numbers would sound like.
Okay, so you think they'd sound a little more like a second wave new wave?
I think they'd sound like a band fronted by a younger sibling of someone more famous.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Let's get back to this elephant story, okay?
Sure, that's right. We took a little bit of a scenic route there.
We went so far off this elephant thing.
Well, we're back on the elephant now.
Now that is a title. I'm sorry I keep doing this, but you're a title genius.
Yeah, back on the elephant would be a good that'd be a pretty good album title.
Like a Monkees album title.
The Monkees, back on the... Well, no, not really. What would it mean to be back on the elephant?
Well, they're all part of the jungle scene. That was so dismissive, true, the way you said that. Oh, my
God. Well, you know, you're right. You're right. That was a little cold, and I apologize.
It was really cold. I'm still just kind of, like, stinging from it. You know how you get that stinging?
No, I do, and I apologize if I in any way hurt you.
Okay, we're fine then. We're good. All right.
Okay, good, right, good.
Saved by zero, right? We're back at zero.
We're saved by zero, just like Cy Kernan said.
Yes. And Jamie West Oram, one of the great rock and roll names of all time.
Yes, and they really... They did such a service for Tina Turner.
They did. And now they're printing money with these commercial placements.
Yeah, they like to drop that song. And I hear that song in, like, I think finance commercials.
Yes, yeah.
And I'm looking at a lot of people referring to them just as feet.
Okay, fair enough.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you.
They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
All right, so the elephant is about to step down on Jimmy Page's face when his trainer diverts his attention away, and Jimmy was almost flagrantly smushed by this pachyderm. I mean, it could have been the end of everything. No Led Zeppelin. Oh,
now that would have really ended the whole thing, because Jimmy Page, you can't keep going without Jimmy Page.
Nope, can't do it. Can't, no. Hey, you know, there's another Zeppelin song about an animal they came in contact with.
Uh-huh. What's that?
It was a dog named Marvin, and he lived at Headley Grange, which is where they recorded Led Zeppelin IV.
Uh-huh. I don't know if it's IV. I think that might be, if that's a four.
Are you... I always thought it was IV because the old guy on the cover with the sticks, he was on his way to the hospital because he was very dehydrated from, you know, picking up all these sticks all day, and he was going to get an IV drip of fluids of some sort.
So, yeah, well, that's, I think you're projecting a fair amount onto your interpretation of that cover.
I don't know. He's pretty decrepit.
Well, look, the old guy certainly looks like he could do with a B12 shot.
Yeah, and no one was drinking water back then. It was all soda and, you know, and tea. I mean, chances are he was down at the pub having a Fanta or something, orange Fanta.
I would say if he was at the pub, he was probably having a lager.
Several pints, right?
He's probably having a pint, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, all right, anyway, so getting back to Marvin the dog, he was a very lazy, overweight dog, and the guys in Zeppelin, and they were always trying to get him to play and romp around, but ultimately Marvin would just end up peeing in all their beds.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he sometimes would go from room to room peeing in the beds, and sometimes he would also do numbers 2 and 3 in the beds.
Oh, that's just a living nightmare.
It's sick, yeah.
That is sick. It's sick, and it's also sad. I'd say it's equal parts sick and sad.
It is. I would give that a 70-30.
I'd probably still go with this. I'd go with more of the 60-40 split you had said earlier with that one.
Sounds good. Sounds great, Greg.
Uh-huh. Tom. But okay, look, I'm not sure about the veracity of some of these you're telling me.
Well, look, this dog Marvin, he was a very vengeful cur, Tom. But his name lives on in Black Dog's opening line, which of course is, "Hey, hey, Marvin, said the way you move, gonna make you sweat, gonna make you groove." Because they wanted Marvin to get healthy and more active.
Sure. And that tracks, except for the fact they're not saying, "Hey, hey, Marvin.
Sure they are.
They're saying, "Hey, hey, Mama."
Wait, they're saying that to their mother? That's sick.
Well, if it was literally their mother, then yeah, you'd have a good case on that one. But I just think we're maybe a little off target here in terms of...
Okay.
What your original topic was.
Okay. Well, anyway, you know, Marvin was, he was just a bad dog. It turns out he later, a couple years later, almost, severed Bill Wyman. dropped my, um, I dropped, Look, it's a man purse, all right? I'm not going to lie. It's a man purse. Anyway, it has this Velcro that's been very iffy lately, and it just fell to the floor. So
you're saying Marvin nearly did what to Bill Wyman?
I can't really say it. Basically, almost severed part of his body.
Well, that's awful.
Yeah.
Well, Marvin seems like a kind of a nightmare.
He was a nightmare dog, yeah. But while we're on the topic of animal attacks, Tom.
Yeah.
I have to put Hart's Barracuda in my top five.
Okay. And why is that?
Well, because, of course, that song is about the day that the Wilson sisters were swimming in a Wisconsin lake on a day off, and they were viciously attacked by a finch of piranhas. Did you know that a group of piranhas is called a finch?
I didn't know that. And I also didn't know that the Wilson sisters were attacked by anything.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was scary. Anyway, Anne and Nancy were surrounded by these piranhas, and they bit off Anne's left arm.
That's not true, is it?
It is. That's why you never see her playing softball or many other sports. She's had a prosthetic arm since 1977.
Because piranhas chewed it off.
Yeah, yeah. But the word piranha didn't work in the context of the song syllabically, so they changed it to barracuda because it's one more syllable. And they also changed it so that finch of piranhas couldn't sue them for defamation.
They always had an angle on the business side of things.
They did. Yeah. Also, I love this song, Shine On You Crazy Diamond by Pink Floyd.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, now this one, some of these other ones were a little bonkers. I got to say, this one I do know is actually based on a true story.
Oh, awesome. I'm so glad you know.
Yeah, yeah. No. This song is the tribute song that the band did to former Pink Floyd leader and founder Syd Barrett.
I don't know where you got that faulty information, but it's way off.
What are you talking about?
Well, here's what the song is about. Remember when Pink Floyd played in the ruins in Pompeii?
Yes.
Well, what happened when they were there was straight out of that Brady Bunch episode where Bobby finds that tiki and it turns out to be cursed.
Okay.
Yeah. So basically, Roger Waters, he's a bassist and singer?
Yeah. Waters.
Pardon me?
Waters.
Well, I think you're thinking of Maxine Waters, who's a politician of some sort.
No, I'm thinking of the story of the song the way I've understood it for a long time.
Okay, well, here's what happened. This Roger from Pink Floyd, he found this brilliant stone in the ruins in Pompeii, and it turned out to have these magical powers.
Like what magical powers did it have?
Well, at first it had many benefits for Roger himself. It made him look really good in those tight T-shirts he always wore.
He's pretty in shape for an old guy.
Very in shape, yes, yeah. It also gave Roger the idea to write about something all 15-year-old stoners in America could identify with, which was, of course, the ravages of World War I on British society.
Yeah, no, I really feel like every Pink Floyd record is also kind of like a music class and a history class.
Yes, he's a teacher. He was the original Yola Tango. You know, when Yola Tango plays a regular set, or if they want to go deep, they play a teaching set.
Uh-huh. So you learn about the music and what makes it special.
Right, yeah. But most important, with this magical stone, and this was ultimately a bad thing, the stone caused Roger to believe that everything he did and said was the only way possible, and the stone or the Crazy Diamond, as it is known in the song, ended up causing this huge irreparable rift between the other guys in the band and Roger. So eventually the stone lost its power, most likely because of the negative energy that it unleashed. And Roger even had the stone destroyed after it failed to make Nick Mason drum faster.
Uh-huh. Well, no, that seems to track. That there's no logic holes in that. That doesn't make sense.
I'm being sarcastic. It makes perfect sense, but moving on, my number one song.
Yeah.
Message in a Bottle by the Police.
Okay, yeah, that's a classic.
Great. And the story behind it is amazing. Oh, my God.
What is the story behind it?
Well, it's about the time the Police were flying to a show in Japan on the Outlandos tour. And the plane had these terrible engine problems, and it had to ditch in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And the Police were the only survivors. And the three of them paddled to this tiny island, and they survived for 3 weeks before being rescued by a fishing boat.
Okay. How did they survive?
Well, I should say two of them survived. They had to eat Andy.
So Sting and Stuart Copeland ate Andy Summers.
Yeah. Andy was the oldest and the smallest, so it made sense.
Well, wouldn't it make sense to eat Stuart Copeland since he's the biggest?
No, he was super lean, you know.
He would
roller skate, you know, to keep in shape also. And I don't think he was a stranger to doing at least 500 push-ups a day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the Andy Summers, who was in the Police from 1979 to present day, is an imposter.
Hold on. So the guy who was in the Police after this incident, all the way through their huge success and then their breakup and reunion.
Yes, yeah.
That's an imposter?
Yeah. It's like Megadeth. You know, the guys from Metallica actually killed Dave Mustaine.
All right, I've never heard this before.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it in a couple books.
A couple books?
Yeah.
What happened?
I guess, you know, he was really annoying them, and so they just woke up one morning and stabbed him.
Terrible. And I don't know if that's true, though.
I'm pretty sure it is. Yeah.
Well, I would hope you'd be more than pretty sure before you throw something that extreme out into the world.
Well, you know, oh, no.
What?
Oh, no. Tom, this whole time I've been talking to you,
mm-hmm.
I've been at my job at the Newbridge News weather station.
Okay.
Yeah, and I just looked at my screen, and there's a huge tidal wave headed directly towards the Quint Cities. Oh, my God. Oh, no. Yeah, I know. Oh, my God.
What?
It was just a shadow on my monitor screen. Oh, my God, I'm so relieved.
Huge relief.
You know of the singer Gigi Allen?
Yes, I do.
Well, he passed away a few years ago. But anyway, a friend gave me a Gigi Allen bobblehead doll for Christmas, and I have it on my desk, and I guess the light hit it in this weird way, and it cast this very weird shadow on the monitor. Mm-hmm. Everything's okay. God, that was scary. Whew.
No, that sounds terrifying. And geez, that Gigi Allen bobblehead sounds like a ton of fun.
Oh, it is. Oh, no.
What?
Oh, no.
What is that?
Oh, no. Tom, it wasn't a shadow from my bobblehead. There really is a giant wave coming. Oh, no.
OK. Okay. Well, you gotta be safe.
I do. I gotta send a message now. John, this is straight out of that film, The Poseidon Adventure, when the captain of the Poseidon, Ricky Dreyfuss, looks into his binoculars and he sees that massive wave and he yells, guys, the boat needs to be bigger. And he chomps on his cigar. Oh, my God.
I don't know if you're getting your movies right. I mean, I know you're in a state of panic right now.
Come on. We're in serious danger. No time to nitpick.
Okay,
I need one favor from you, please.
Okay, what is the favor?
All right, well, for the last 4 years, I've been writing some very graphic, erotic fiction about me, my boss, and everyone here at the Newbridge News weather station.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, is this something, do you want me to destroy this?
Destroy it? Oh, my God, no. I want you to get it in the hands of Aaron Sorkin or David Mandel, or at the very least, Larry Flynt Jr.
Why would I do that? So that it could be published?
Well, I think I heard somewhere that you used to have half a drop of juice in the TV world. Like, maybe you were a gopher on the set of Emily's Reasons Why Not. Is that right? I don't know. Maybe you were. It's hard to say, I guess.
I don't know.
Okay. Well,
I don't know, my friend. All I know is that siren's still going.
It is still going. Okay, look. The erotic scenarios are my legacy, and I need them to live on. Please let the world know of my gift for the erotic fair. Oh, maybe. No. There she blows up.
Oh, no. I think he's gone. Well, I hope he's okay.
The Best Show is produced in partnership with the Forever Dog Podcast Network. The show is hosted by Tom Sharpling and features John Worster, Michael Lisk, Jason Gore, and Pat Byrne. The show is produced and written by Jason Gore, Pat Byrne, Michael Lisk, Brett Davis, John Worster, and Tom Sharpling. The Best Show is executive produced by Tom Sharpling, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Co-executive produced by Jason Gore and Pat Byrne, segment producer Michael Lisk. The show is engineered and mastered by Andrew Gleason and Wesley Knapp. Graphic design, video editing, and social media by Brett Davis. Website and technical support by Martine Sellis. And the show is recorded at Forever Dog Studios in Los Angeles. Support The Best Show on Patreon over at patreon.com/thebestshow. And follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Best Show for Life. That's Best Show 4 Life. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.